Well, it's a blessing to be able to welcome them into the house of the Lord, into the fellowship of the church, and into the family of God in this corner of the vineyard. My prayer is that God will make this corner so great and such a blessing to many, many people. Welcome them in to the church this morning, and may the Lord bless you. I also want to say a happy Mother's Day. I've got a stupid little thing that I kind of act on, but then I try to do my best by her for lunchtime or something like that. The folks say to me, "What have you given your mother? What have you given Yvonne for Mother's Day? She's not my mother." What I argue. But I try to make it up with a nice lunch or something like that. But she understands me. She always says, "Well, I had to pick a man from the gutter." You know what the Lord has kind of laid on my heart? That prayer that I mentioned of Jabez the other day has been in my spirit since that time. And when I preach on a Sunday morning or whenever I preach, I'm going to use that prayer as an introduction, because it is a magnificent prayer and has such a far-reaching effect on the lives of people, our lives, I believe on the lives of the church. So 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10 is where it is found, and it goes like this. It's been paraphrased, and Christian Heritage called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless us indeed and enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, and that you would keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain." I'm going to pray that again and see if you can pray it with me the way I've just read it to you. And Christian Heritage called on the name of the God of Israel. "Oh, that you would bless us indeed, enlarge our territory, and that your hand would be with us, and that you would keep us from evil, and that we would not cause pain." Amen. And God bless that prayer to our hearts. Make it a part of our lives. Exodus chapter 2, 1 to 8, please, if you would kindly turn to these sections of the Word of God with me. Exodus chapter 2, verse 8, 1 to 8. Matthew, Mark, Exodus, if you're having problems. Are you happy this morning? I know my dentist doesn't like me to do this, but sometimes these things have got to be done. My wife wants me to stop biting my nails. That'll be done one of these days as well. Since the dentist put a new tooth in my mouth and I can't bite it anymore. So there's always a way to skin a cat. So says the lady. A man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child. Now I'd like to pause there, because that in the King James Version says that he was a proper child. She saw something that was very beautiful in this child, and she recognized him to be a proper child, a child that was going to do exploits for God, that had a destiny, and that would grow up to be a something for the Lord. And she hid him for 3 months. Now, anyone who has mothered a child, we visited our doctor this morning, last week, and he told us that he has now a second child, and she screams as long and as loud as the first one did. So how do you keep a three-month-old child or a child coming up to 3 months quiet? Anyway, we'll get to that. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and the child, and put the child in it, and laid it in reeds by the river bank. And her sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down alongside to bathe in the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him. Man, isn't it amazing? Babies know just when to smile or when to weep. And this one did it at the right time. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then her sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. I smell a conspiracy. This whole thing is a conspiracy. I'd like to read for you now a section of the Word of God, which is also, and this sort of connects with the prayer of Jabez and the prayer and the strategy that Jochebed, the mother of Moses, had to develop in her life so that this child could spare for what God had brought him into the world for. Isaiah 54, 2-7 says this, "Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused." What had to be done in the life of this particular lady was that she had to stretch the curtains of her dwelling. She had to stretch her faith. She had to come up with some ideas that was going to spare the life of this child, because the edict of Pharaoh was this, that every male child born in a Hebrew home had to be killed. It had absolutely no future. But when she looked on this child, she saw he was a proper child, and she was going to make a plan for him. Thus, they schemed this amazing scheme that they had in their mind. Behind every church, let me say this, is a great and an eternal Father God who wishes to give his people the desire of his heart. We read this in several places in the Word of God. God does not want us to be bankrupt. He doesn't want us to be poor, and he doesn't want us to be defeated. I'm going to need help. Keith is the man who knows how to do these things. Thank you so much. Victory and success is the great desire in the heart of God for people who call upon his name. There was a lady by the name of Mrs. Morse. She had a son by the name of Sam. And she used to say to Sam, "Samuel, will you please stop tapping your fingers on the table? It's driving me mad." Samuel Morse invented the Morse code. Mrs. Lindbergh, the mother of Charles Lindbergh, said to him, "Charles, you can't do anything on your own. You're the most useless child that I have ever seen." Charles Lindbergh was the man who made the solo flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Mrs. Washington The mother of George Washington, the first mother of the first president of the United States, said this: "You have no head for money. You have no idea on earth how to use money." He became the first president of the United States, and he was the man who set out the financial program for the new republic. Mrs. Armstrong, the mother of Neil Armstrong, said, "Neil, you have no more business of taking flying lessons than does the man in the moon." Can you think of anyone else in this world that has power and potential for forming an influence on a child than a mother does? There is nobody that can do that. It was Susanna, the mother of Charles and Wesley. John. How could I forget that? Charles and John Wesley, who prayed for these children of hers, and she presented to the world two of the greatest spiritual reformers the world has ever had. A mother creates a close bond with her children, a bond that will last for a lifetime. Mother's influence will be either positive or negative, but it remains real anyway. I just want to put a little bit of a correction in you. It's a Godwinism. You know, we can invent these little things. Have you ever been around, and I'm sure you have, where someone has helped you do something and they take in their leave from you and they say to you, "Take care." And off you go through the door into the rest of your day. I was in a place of business at Key West the other day, and the lady was rather a joyful lady. And when I'd finished my business, she said to me, "Take care." I said, "No, thank you. I've got enough of that." Folk, I want to say that may be meant to be a positive statement, but it's negative. We've got enough care in our lives. Let's take the blessings of Jesus into our lives with us, as our mother may have taught us to do. A mother has the opportunity, like Timothy's mother, to plant the seeds of faith in a child that God can use and lead that child into the most amazing maturity and powerful ministry. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 and 6 reads this: "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you," that is in Timothy, "which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God that is in you." This is one of the greatest examples of godly influence that we find in the New Testament to encourage us in our relationship with God. Abraham Lincoln made this statement: "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." No man is poor who has had a godly mother. One of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is to be a godly parent. This morning, I want to talk to you very briefly, if I possibly can do that, about the godly mother taken from the pages of the book of Exodus, the mother of the man who wrote the book of Exodus, the woman known as Jochebed. Her name in Hebrew is Yochevet, and it means Jehovah's glory is in her. If you were here the other day when I preached, I mentioned the names of God in different people. So you will find the name of God, YAW, is the particle of the name of God, and it's in the name of Yochevet. Jehovah's glory is in her. Jochebed was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. She was a member of the tribe of Levi, from which came the priests and those who would carry out the duties in the tabernacle and later in the temple and later to shame, they would crucify the Christ of glory. She was a goodly woman who made a stand for her faith in her experience, in her home, and among her other two children that she had. She had a relationship with God. The Lord was her sovereign king and her master. Nothing would have had a more profound and lasting influence in the lives of our children than having a good, godly example in their home. What does a godly mother or a godly father look like? They are one who prays for their children, James chapter 5, verse 6. They are one who studies the Word of God and teaches it to their children, Deuteronomy 18, verse 19. They are one who sets an example by the life that they lead. They set an example by the life that they lead. They don't fight like cat and dog on the way down to church on a Sunday with a kid sitting in the back of the car. Second Timothy 1 verse 5. They are people who have a compassionate heart. Psalm 103 verse 13. They are people who stand firm in their faith, anchored in God. Philippians 1 verse 27. Now this woman had a dilemma. And the dilemma, as we know, was that she was a Hebrew, that she gave birth to a child, and there was a death sentence upon the child's life. But she was going to see to it, to do everything that she could to bring this child up, to get this child's life spared, to bring him up in the ways of the Lord. She recognized him to be a proper child. And she knew that this child had a destiny in God, and she was going to do it. She could have complained about the difficulty of life circumstances, but she did not. Listen to me this morning. Jochebed would not allow herself to surrender to the hopelessness of the life of a slave in Egypt. In hatred and fear of the Hebrews, Pharaoh ordered the killing of all Israelite males, by casting them into the Nile River. You read that in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12. There was great peril with the edict of Pharaoh. Disobedience could and would easily cost one a life sentence in prison and even cost one's own death. Godly people must resist and counter the evil pressures of this world. I don't know how many of you have seen the men who have been taken on the beach by ISIS to be slaughtered. There seems to be an amazing calmness about it. When you reach into an area like that, there must be a presence of God. Jesus said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned and martyred, he was strong enough to stand up on his knees and say, oh God, forgive them. I pray for them. Not only did she have a dilemma, she had courage as well. She refused to consider her own life, her own comfort, her own convenience, or her own safety. She refused to listen to the demands of the world. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife from the house of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw he was a proper child. And she hid him for 3 months. Man, we couldn't hide our kid, our first kid, for 3 minutes. Jochebed knew about the new law of Pharaoh. She knew her baby's life, and it would end if she didn't do anything to save him. She knew that her own life was on the line if she disobeyed. But the law went against everything basically humane, moral, and right. So Jochebed, fearing God more than man, made a decision, though it put her in jeopardy, proved to be the decision that saved a nation and produced the Savior to the world, through whom you and I sit here this morning and believe, I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Many might ask, could any mother even think about killing their child to save Pharaoh from killing the child? Today, more than 50 million babies have been murdered in the womb of their mothers in the United States alone. I think that figure is conservative. 50 million. Worldwide, that figure rises to more than 500 million babies. And that's only on the records that have been aborted and have been murdered. So, Jochebed was not going to fall for anything like that. By seeking to preserve the life of Moses, she saved the existence of the nation and gave us the future leader of Exodus, the one and greatest statesman the world has ever known. I want to tell you something that I realized about this man Moses as I prepared this message. You may never have thought of it. Never was there a man from Adam to Jesus as great as the man Moses. What about Abraham? Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham is the father of the Hebrew nation. He must have been great, but he was not greater than Moses. Moses was the greatest man that ever lived in this world. He was the only man that spoke to God as much as a man spoke to God, so Moses did. He was the only man who, when he heard the word of God say, I am going to destroy this nation, and I am going to raise up another nation out of you, rather than from this people. Moses looked at him, and he said, "So you think you're clever? How can you do that? You can't do that. You can't kill these people. You told Pharaoh you were going to save them. You told me you were going to save them. You told the known world that you were going to save them. And now you're going to kill them?" The only man in this world that changed the mind of God over such a massive incident as that. But he changed the mind of God anyway. Acts chapter 5 verse 29 says this, we ought to obey God rather than obey man. Not only did she have a dinner and other things, she had a sacrifice as well. But when she could no longer hide him, she took the ark of the bulrushes for him, dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. She was going to save her child anyway. But notice something, folk. The leading of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, is the most amazing experience that you can have. Many of us are here today who can say, God has led me. God has led me. Have you ever had the leading of God in your life? Amen. Can I hear it? Has God ever told you to do something, go somewhere, speak to someone? Yes, He has. In my early Christianity, I came back from Welkom because my mother was dangerously ill. My father said, please come back so you can at least be of some comfort to your mother. Your mother won't worry over you. Could you please come back? Well, the salary wasn't going to be good because I was working for West Rand Cons, or I would be working for West Rand Cons. And if anybody worked for West Rand Cons, you knew what they paid weekly. So they paid us very weekly. And I came back. And my father begged me to come back just to be there. It is better to listen to God. And so when I came back, I met a man who was working with me underground. His name was Jack Barton. Started working together with Jack, met Jack again. In fact, I met him in front of the Salvation Army. Now, for those who lived in the last century might remember that where Kentucky Fried Chicken is in Market Street is where the Salvation Army was. So Jack was just walking into the Salvation Army. I went up to him and I said, Jack, would you do me a favor? He said, sure, neighbor, what can I do for you? I said, would you take me to the Pentecostal Holiness? He said, it'll be my pleasure. So he took me to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. That Tuesday night, I turned up uninvited to Jack's house to visit him. And we sat down and we chatted about the things of the Lord. I told him about my experience with God. And then Yvonne walked in. She'd been to some play practice for the church. It was coming Christmas time. And they were having a Christmas play. And he introduced me to her. And he yawned and he said, well, I'll leave you young ones to it. And she's been stuck with me since. Jochebed gave Moses everything that she could during those first few months. Then she had to give him up. When she realized she could no longer hide her infant son, she made a little cradle, plaited the reeds, put pitch in there, asphalt, etc., and believed God for the protection of that boy. And who found it? Pharaoh's daughter. Isn't it amazing? Pharaoh's daughter. Ah, but here's the conspiracy. Miriam, go and have a look there. See what happens to your baby brother, what they do with him. So Miriam's hiding in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter comes, and she sees a proper child. She sees a proper child. And she says, this is one of the Hebrews' children. But there was a bond. As those eyes connected, there was a bond. And she took that child, and she said, this is going to be my boy. And up comes Miriam. And she says, Your Highness, I've got an excellent plan. In fact, I know that one of the Hebrew women is nursing a baby. So I'll take this baby and she'll nurse him for you. Here's her address, etc. That's where you can find him when he's finished nursing. And she got paid. Jochebed got paid for feeding her own baby. Isn't God amazing? Jochebed feared God more than she feared man. She made a decision that through this, it put her in great jeopardy, and yet she was able to bring her baby up. I'm sure that Jochebed thought she'd never see. Let's leave that out. That shouldn't have been. I've said that already. When I think of Jochebed, I think of many expectant mothers who are pressured by the world to abort their babies because they're not going to afford them. But they hold on and they believe God, and God brings them through. Then she had faith. Jochebed had faith in God's protection for her baby only because she trusted the Lord only because she could not abandon her son rather than kill him. She believed that God would take care of him. Isaiah 7 verse 9 says, if you stand firm in your faith, you will not stand. Sorry, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. But she stood firm in her faith. In the midst of these dire circumstances, Jochebed was fully trusted God for the safekeeping of her child. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. If we want God to work in our lives, in our families, we must place our faith in him and not be scared of negative commandments. We must put our faith into action. God will not and cannot work in our lives without our putting our trust in him. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those that seek him. Speaking of reward, what was her reward? She gave up what she could not keep, and she received back more than she gave. It was no accident that Pharaoh's daughter was there. It was no accident that Miriam, Moses' sister, was there. It was no accident that Jochebed became the foster mother of Moses. God always rewards reckless and daring faith. It was Jochebed's love, faith, and courage that saved her child from a cruel death and kept him to bless the world. A mother who loves the Savior and who has more severe anguish when she knows that not only the life of her child is at stake, but its soul is at stake as well, can rest in the assurance that Jochebed's God still lives and is able to save her precious child from death. Jochebed was a godly mother who had all of the time when she was looking after that child to lay a foundation for Moses to be the first, during the first of 5-6 years of the child's life. Jochebed was the chief influence used by God during his early formative years in preparing Moses. Jochebed's love, faith, and courage in saving her child from the cruel, watery death and living a godly life before him doubtlessly had a profound influence on Moses, as evidenced in the Word of God. Just before I read my last scripture, let me give you my last thought. Who told Moses when he was shepherding the flock of Jethro in the desert, when he saw that burning bush, all he heard was, take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Who told him to bow? Something within him said, this is more than holy ground. I'm in the presence of the living God. And he bowed before the presence of Jesus. My last and closing scripture is this. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 27. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Stand with me, please. Lord, there is so much in this message. It isn't just an ordinary message. It's an extraordinary message. It's a message that speaks to our hearts. Those who did not pay attention, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will pay attention. That the Spirit of God will be the after preacher of this message, and they will become great men and women and young people in the power and the anointing of the living God. That they will be able to say, it is easier to obey God than to obey man. And that we will live for you with all the strength that we have in our lives to live for God. Let us be like Isaiah when he said that she needed to stretch out her tent pegs. She needed to enlarge her borders to accommodate this amazing supernatural child that God gave her. Let us be like Jochebed who prayed, oh, that you would bless me indeed and that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and that I would not cause pain. Father, what I'm basically asking you for this morning is make us what you want us to be. Conform us to the image of your precious, loving, living Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let us be victorious, living in the victory that God has given us. And Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, may we have the faith and the confidence to say, Spirit of the living God, raise up a standard against the enemy that I may maintain my integrity and serve the living God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Once again we pray for every person that is in this church that heard me speak, that is able by the grace of God to implement these principles into their lives. I pray for every mother that is represented here. Lord, when I think back on my mother, a lady no taller than 4'8", every Thursday when my father came from the mine, gave her his pay, she would spread it on the table. And she will equally distribute that for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And as a boy, when I looked at that, I could see it was nothing. But never a day did my mother allow us to go to bed. Father, bless the mothers in this church here today. In the mighty and in the magnificent name of Jesus we pray. And we give you glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Now let's give him praise for our mothers. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now let's give him praise for the mothers of this church and the mothers that are in this church today. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Father, as I close this prayer, this service, I ask you that you will bless the mothers of those that are here whose mothers are sick. I think of Keith. And I ask you, Lord, that you will touch his mother and help her and bless her. And any other person whose mother is sick, would you reach out that healing hand, stretch it forth, and heal them. Even if they're standing in this congregation, heal them now in the name of Jesus. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord be gracious unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now before you leave, please stay and have some refreshments with us.